Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited Q3 and nine months FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Prachi Ambre from MUFG Investor Relations team. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Anushka. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited Q3 and nine months FY 2026 earnings conference call. Today on the call we have Mr. Pradeep Kumar Khanna, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Abhayraj Singh, Senior Vice President and Company Secretary, Mr. Kushal Kumar Rana, Director of Works, and Mr. Rakesh Mahajan, Advisor, to provide insights on the company's operational and financial performance. Before we begin the call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs and expectations as of today. The statements are not a guarantee of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Abhay sir for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prachi ji, for a brief introduction. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon and welcome to the Q3 and nine months FY 2026 earnings call of the company. Thank you very much for joining us today and for your continued trust and support. We truly appreciate your time and your interest in the company. I hope that you have had a chance to go through our financial results and investor presentations, which are available on the stock exchanges and the company's website. Q3 FY 2026 has been a resilient quarter for the company, reflecting the strength of our diversified business model and disciplined execution despite global headwinds arising from geopolitical fluctuating conditions. The quarter's performance highlights the consistency of our operations, enduring demand across key product categories, and our agility in navigating external challenges. The pharmaceutical segments continue to anchor growth and remain a key contributor to overall performance. We witness growing traction across our API portfolio, particularly in non-ibuprofen molecules, which continue to gain share and reinforce the success of our diversification strategies. Rising contributions from these products reflects broader market penetrations and increasing validation from regulated markets. This shift enhances revenue visibility, it strengthens margin quality, and reduces concentration risk. Growth was supported by healthy volumes, consistent customer engagement, and expansion in quality-focused geographies. Our chemicals business also delivered a stable performance during a quarter, supported by optimal capacity utilization levels and improved demand conditions. Operational discipline, efficiency initiatives, and better throughput supported segment profitability and demonstrated the structural strength of this business. The steady performance of chemicals alongside pharmaceuticals validates the resilience of our portfolio and its ability to generate consistent results across business cycles. Overall, the quarter reflects good operating momentum, improving efficiencies, and disciplined execution of our strategic priorities. We remain focused on expanding our footprint in regulated markets, increasing the share of high-value and non-ibuprofen APIs, strengthening customer relationships, and enhancing R&D capabilities. In addition, backward integration initiative and growing product pipeline position us to sustain growth momentum, improve competitiveness, and deliver long-term value for stakeholders. With this, I would request CFO Mr. Pradeep Khanna to share the financial highlights for this quarter and nine months period of FY 2026.
Thank you, Mr. Abhay. Good afternoon, everyone. During the third quarter of financial year 26, the company reported revenue from operations rupees 580 crore as compared to rupees 523 crore in the corresponding quarter last year, reflecting a growth of 10.9%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 62.6 crore versus 50.9 crore in quarter 3 of financial year 25, registering a growth of 22.8%. While PBT before exceptional items increased to rupees 38.8 crore from 27.8 crore, marking a strong year-on-year rise of 39.3%. The EBITDA margin improved to 10.7% compared to 9.7% in the same quarter of the last year. And PBT margin increased to 6.6% from 5.3%, reflecting better operating leverage, improved product mix, and cost optimization. Rupees 11.2 crore recorded as exceptional item during the quarter pertaining to provision relating to new labor law, which is non-recurring in nature. So for the 9 month period ended December 25, revenue from operation stood at 1699.6 crore as against rupees 1551.4 crore in the previous year, representing a growth of 9.6%. EBITDA was 196.1 crore compared with rupees 157.1 crore, up by 24.8%, while PBT before exceptional item of rupees 11.2 crore rose to rupees 124.8 crore from 93 crore, reflecting a growth of 34.2%. So EBITDA margin for the 9 months improves to 11.4% from 10% in the previous year. And PBT margin increased to 7.3% from 5.9%, demonstrating sustained margin expansion across the periods. And our financial position remains stable, supported by healthy operating cash flows and prudent financial management, which allows us to continue investing in growth initiatives while maintaining balance sheet strength. Reflecting confidence in the company's performance and outlook, the Board of Directors has declared an interim dividend of 50% per equity share for financial year 25-26. So thank you. With that, we now welcome any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Jay from Star Investments. Please proceed.
Hello. Yeah, hi. EBITDA margin improved to 10.7% in Q3 and 11.4% for the 9 month period. Could you give us a detailed breakdown of what drove this margin expansion?
The primary increase in the EBITDA margin due to increase in capacity utilization of various products.
Okay, and hello. What is the current, hello, yeah, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the current pricing environment for ibuprofen APIs, and are you facing any margin pressure due to oversupply, or has pricing stabilized in recent quarters?
No, our ibuprofen plant is running around 90% to 95% capacity utilization, and we are not facing any problem which you have mentioned that any surplus, but our capacity utilization is continuing above 90% to 95%.
Okay, and one last question. If we look at the chemicals EBIT for 9 month FY26, it has nearly doubled compared to the prior period. Could you help us understand the key drivers behind this performance, and where exactly are you seeing traction, whether in volumes or realizations, and how confident are you about the about sustaining this momentum going forward?
Our capacity utilization for chemical division is almost 100% capacity we are running for our ethyl acetate plant, and the increase in EBIT is primarily to the full utilization of capacity utilization.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Take the next question from the line of Jainam Ghelani from Swan Investments. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So in quarter two, we had faced some one-time cost of power of almost 7 to 8 crores because of the floods that were there in Punjab. So has the power cost reduced to the normalized levels for us, or was it higher in quarter three also?
Rightly said, the power cost in the second quarter has increased due to floods in Punjab. But non-reduction of fuel prices in the third quarter, it could not happen. The power and fuel costs remain same as in the second quarter.
Okay. And sir, what is the pricing scenario for ethyl acetate as well as paracetamol? If you could just mention whether they've been stable Q on Q or there has been some change.
Almost stable prices are there for ethyl acetate and paracetamol. However, the quantities are going increase for IV.
Actually, capacity is like for paracetamol, we are increasing the capacity gradually, and probably pricing is same.
Okay. And so in the previous call, we have mentioned that we can expect almost 13% to 14% margins in H2. So now, so do we expect to maintain that, or we feel that it could be lower?
In respect to beta margin,
yes,
we are not able to achieve the target because of unexpected rise in the fuel cost. So now we hope we will do better in the coming quarter, and beta margin will improve by better efficiencies and marketing. But we hope we will increase, get the EBITDA margin increased by 1 to 2% in the coming quarter.
Okay. And so what is the CAPEX plans for FY27?
The CAPEX for the 27.
We are working on it, and we have to still have to finalize what is the, what will be our CAPEX.
But Jananji, as considering the last con call also, the CAPEX regularly we are doing is approximately 150 to 200 CR. So I think for FY27 we will also be doing the same level of the CAPEX. For that we have a plan.
Thank you. That's it for my time. And all the rest.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a reminder to the participants. In order to ask a question, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Maulik from BNK Securities. Please proceed.
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
I hope I'm audible. Yeah, so yes, just wanted to understand, our costs have increased by approximately 6%. Other expenses have increased by 6% quarter on quarter and 20% year on year. So for 2Q, the power costs were high, but for 3Q, can you quantify how much have these costs increased, you know, factoring in the fuel cost, which you just mentioned. So can you help us understand?
So basically, Q2, actually we very well explained during the call, the cost increase was because of the fuel and prices were gone up, and there were some personal expenses, one-time personal expenses that time, because that was the basic reason of the cost increasement. But this quarter, as we said in the earlier questions, we were expecting that the fuel cost will come down. So that cost could not be come down because of the prices of the husk contained at the same level, or in fact very slightly inched up. So that was the basic at the main reason, and other costs are relating to the marketing expenses and some general expenses. So that is the cost breakup which gone up if you consider with the Q2 to Q3.
Okay, understood. And so you mentioned that there will be a 1 percentage point increase in the EBITDA margin. So this was for 4Q or 1Q FY27?
So Q4, this will be for molecule Q4 we are talking about. See, we were expecting little higher EBITDA for the Q3 also. I think we missed by 2-3 CR, not big amount. So that we are very sure that we will be making up in the Q4.
Okay, sir. And can you quantify how much was our revenue for IBU and non-IBU?
Yeah, so just a moment.
We have a total revenue in this 580 CR. Out of which pharma sector is 356 and chemical 224. Pharma is 61% and chemical is 39%.
Right. Sorry,
if we further divide this IBU and non-IBU, so yes. IBU is 228 and whereas okay. Non-IBU is 128.
Understood. Okay. So, sorry.
No, that is the breakup only.
Okay, and so how do we expect our 4Q and FY27 to look like? We had given a growth guidance of 10-15% revenue growth for FY27. So do we stick to that? And what is the outlook of our key products in the chemicals and mainly in pharma, be it paracetamol, metformin or IBU?
So in the coming year, we expect minimum 10-15% growth in the top line and 15-20% in the bottom line. So we are focusing on support of our pharma products, and we are in touch with some big customers. So steps also has been taken to increase non-IBU product share. And we have also potential for forward integration. And we are also backward integrated in IBU and Para. So we hope we will do better in the coming year with the 10-15% minimum growth.
Okay. And how much would be our consolidated capacity utilization, sir, for chemicals and pharma?
Pharma, we are utilizing more than 90% capacity, except paracetamol, for which we are utilizing 60%. And for chemical, it's generally mainly near to 100%.
Sorry, chemicals is how much, sorry?
Near to 100%.
Oh, near 200%. Okay. Sure. Thank you, sir. I'll join back with you.
Okay.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a reminder to the participants. In order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Surbhi from NV Alpha. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, you know, you gave the split of ibuprofen and other non-ibu. Within the non-ibu portfolio, how much of it is coming from regulated markets currently?
So overall export, if we talk about the export contribution of non-IBU, so this is around 15 to 17% we are exporting, and majorly we are exporting to the European and the regulated market. So this is around 15% coming from regulated market.
Okay, and
for non-IBU.
Okay, and you know, you mentioned that in pharma, apart from paracetamol, all other capacities are optimally utilized. So for next year, the growth majorly will come from paracetamol, or are there any other capex for other APIs also which are in pipeline?
Surbhi, we discussed this in detail in the previous calls also. So the paracetamol is the one driver, growth driver. The another driver is the conversion in the demography. I mean, the non-IBU domestic will be shifted to the regulated market. Third is the metformin, because the previous unit facility where we were making the paracetamol will be converted back to the metformin. So that is going to be vacant, also will be utilized either for the metformin or maybe for other products also. So apart from that, as we are reaching or nearing to 100% capacity utilizations, we are also working, plan are also going on for increasing the capacity for few products. So put together, all these things will give you better visibility for the 27 FY growth drivers.
Got it. And sir, just one clarification. In the previous participant's question, you also mentioned you are doing forward integration. So you are doing forward integration into formulation. What does forward integration mean?
So we are planning to have it, but not the formulations, but CMO model.
Got it. So CMO in the API only, or CMO in something else?
API for API only.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Varun Mishra from Bhava Investments. Please proceed.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. And a couple of questions from my end. So like, so can you provide more detail on our capex allocation for like FY26 and FY27? Like how much is directed towards the pharmaceutical segment and how much is for chemicals? And what would be the incremental capacity like will this create, if you could show, like tell us something about that.
So capex is total capex for FY26 is something around 150 crore. So maybe we are into the last quarter, so maybe little less to that. That 150 CR we budgeted. But I think we are in the last quarter, so we may go for the little bit less to the 150 CR. So maybe 130, 135. Out of this, the 60% is against the growth.
Okay. And the rest 40%? Mm-hmm.
That's 40% for infra development and automation.
Alright, sir. And like, what is the update on the land parcel that the company has received, recently acquired? Sorry, could you like tell us how is the acquisition going, what's the progress, and the intent use of this site? How like aligns with the long term growth plans for us?
So I think as we commonly discussed in the last call also, already EC has been granted from the Ministry of Environment and Forest. So now the next step, we are in the process to get the approvals from National Highway Authorities as well as other process of EC, like getting NOCs and then consents to operate. So that process is undergoing right now.
All right, sir. And so, like, one final question, like, this was regarding the CEP for minoxidil. Could you share, like, how do we plan to leverage the certification for, like, expansion in European markets? Like, specifically, what opportunities do we see in terms of customer acceptance, any volume growth or revenue contribution that it might have? And how does that strengthen, like, strengthen your broadened non-ibuprofen, like, portfolio strategy? If this last question.
So Varunji, CEP, we just recently got CEP, and earlier we announced that by the end of December, we will be commercializing this minoxidil plant, which has been, I mean, a part of our other existing unit number 9. So as of now, minoxidil as an intermediate, we are already supplying as a merchant sale to the market. And as a strategy, with the initial strategy, we are going for final products, API, minoxidil, in international market, regulated market. So we are trying for that. I hope by the first quarter of next financial year, we will be starting that. So this will enhance our, obviously, non-API, non-Ibu API portfolio further. So this is having the scope of selling the intermediate, minoxidil intermediate, as well as the minoxidil final API.
Okay, sir. All right. That's all from my end, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Ruthi Vora from SAS Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, very well.
Yeah. So my question is, pharma share of overall revenue has risen from 57% in Q3 FY 2025 to 61% in Q3 FY 2026, highlighting its growing contribution. So looking ahead, what do you see as the ideal revenue mix between the ibuprofen APIs and non-ibuprofen APIs and the chemical segment?
So, the revenue mix of ibu and other APIs is ibu 64% and other API is 36%. In the corresponding quarter of December 2024, the ibu revenue is 66% and other API 34%. So ibu revenue is decreased by 2% and other API revenue is increased by 2%.
Okay. And how should we think about the balance between these business in terms of sustaining growth and marginal quality over the medium term?
So, I think you are talking about the next few years. So next few years, the ideal for us will be the 60 will be coming from API business and 40 will be coming from the chemical business.
Oh.
This is in near term. However, the ideal we are thinking is 25 and 75. So 25 from the chemical and 75 from the API. And between these API, the near-term objective of ours is to divide it into the 50-50. Later on, 50% from ibuprofen and 50% from non-ibu. But we are trying to further improve this, 25 from the ibuprofen and 75% from non-ibuprofen API. This is, I am talking about 4 to 5 years.
Okay. And like now...
And 60-40, I'm talking about achievable in next 2 years.
Okay, noted. And which geographies are currently showing the strongest demand momentum from the pharma portfolio, particularly the non-ibuprofen APIs? Yeah, could you share...
Since beginning, our concentration is more in the Europe.
Okay. And so could you also share where you are planning to expand going ahead and how these markets are expected to contribute to the growth and margin sustainability?
The overall European Union, completing complete Europe as well as the MENA countries.
What is the peak revenue potential you foresee from the both ibuprofen and non-ibuprofen segments over the next few years?
So we have already discussed on this for the 26 and the 27. So we think that during by the 27 we might have something. We already given that we will be reaching to 2700 CR from overall the business, including the chemical and the ibuprofen, API. So out of this, we think that around 1800 comes from the API business and 900 will come from the chemical business. So we are targeting to further have the 50-50 ratio for the 27 from ibuprofen and non-ibuprofen. This is what we are discussing, and we are very hopeful that we may cross it or to reach very near to this.
And how do we expect the margins to evolve with the changing product mix and market?
Margin, I think CFO already discussed about this for the next year, around 10 to 15% upside from the current margin profile.
Okay, okay. If I will have further questions, we'll join the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Maulik from BNK Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you once again. So just wanted to understand that for the previous quarter in 2Q, our EBIT margins for chemical entity was around 1.8%. And I think that the reason for that higher EBIT margin was due to a low cost inventory lying with the company. And going ahead, you all were going to try to negotiate with the Chinese suppliers. And this quarter, we see a 2.2% EBIT margin, which is a healthy growth. So what is the reason behind this QOQ growth? Is it better negotiation in terms of...
Hello. To the little extent, it is a high... It is a increase in there is gain to little extent the gain of inventory valuation also, but primary reason of increase in the EBIT margin is the capacity utilization.
Realization.
Capacity utilization.
Okay, sir. And similar question for our pharma EBIT margins, which have reduced sequentially from 10.5% to approximately 9.7%. So we have had a healthy utilization, but despite that, the margins have come down. So any reason for that?
Actually, the prices of paracetamol and underutilization of para capacity as of now, which is running at around 60%, it went for this decrease in numbers.
Okay, okay. So prices and underutilization of paracetamol.
Also we are focusing mainly on volume, on capacity utilization. So due to this, the margins are on the decreasing trend.
Okay, okay, okay. So we would have offered slight more lower pricing for the same products to increase the volume. Is that the correct understanding?
So, to say it maybe, but we are after utilizing the optimum capacity, we will, in future, we will focusing on the pricing also.
Okay, okay. And just one clarification, sir. You mentioned that the focus is on EU market going ahead. So this was mainly for API business or on a console level for chemical plus API segment?
Maulikji, not for going ahead. Since beginning, our focus has been in the complete Europe and the MENA countries. So we will continue to focus those territories apart from these territories. We also look for what other part of the world we can serve, and this focus is for both. Focus is for both now.
Okay, okay, okay. Thank you, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Sheikh Mohammed Ayaz, an individual investor. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to ask that there is one exceptional loss of around 11 crores. So what is that exactly? Where it comes from?
So the central government had regulated all labor laws and unified into the basically all 29 laws has been converted into the unified into the 4 laws. So out of these laws, the wage structure definitions has been redefined. So because it has been redefined, so the difference of the past services of all the employees is works out to be 11.21 CR. This is against the gratuity calculations as well as the earned leave calculations, if any. So this is relating to the past employment of the existing employees. So this is as of now one time. This will later on, all the salary structure will be restructured in a such a manner so that this is as per the new labor laws.
Okay. And regarding the fuel cost, I would like to know that what fuel cost has increased. Means what we are using for as a fuel, we are using petrol, diesel, CNG or coal. What we are using? That because I don't see rise in petrol, diesel or CNG. I would like to know in detail what are the cost increasing. Means we are utilizing more fuel. Is that the reason or the price?
No, sir. Actually, this is price. So your first question was what we are using as a fuel. So the right answer is we have coal and we are using biodegradable material from the farming lands, which is rice husk, as a input material into our boilers. Right. So if you see the cost of like this is a biodegradable material and it contributes mainly to the sustainability of an organization with respect to carbon footprints. So most of the companies, they are opting for this fuel and that is why this cost fluctuation is very high, either on upper side or on the lower side. So like in Q2, what we said with respect to fuel is there was heavy rains and this husk remains in the open areas. So we were not in a position to use even our stocks which were there in our hands due to heavy rains. So that was the reason in last year, last quarter. This quarter, the prices of the husk has been increased. Our current consumption of rice husk is somewhere around maybe 450 to 500 metric ton per day.
Okay. So in future also that will remain high, rice husk prices.
It depends, sir. When there is off season, it is always in the increasing trend.
There is no other option for rice husk for us?
No, sir. There are other options also, but again, they are contributing to your carbon footprints or cost, both are the parameters. Like there is a new biodegradable material which is coming from the paddy straw and the companies, they are using paddy straw to make the briquettes and those briquettes are also used in the boilers as a fuel. But again, the cost of production of those briquettes is more than the cost of rice husk.
Okay. My next question is expected revenue and profit after tax in Q4 and do we able to reach 600 crore mark for the revenue in next quarter?
Yes, sure. We expect 600 CR revenue in the fourth quarter and margin will also be increased.
What is the PAT? Can you tell me the expected profit after tax?
I think that will not be very appropriate for us to talk about the PAT number for the next quarter at this moment because we are also abide by the law. But Mr. Singh, I distinctly remember. No, no, I discreetly remember last quarter you asked whether we will be achieving the 600 mark, when we will be achieving. So I think that we can discuss. So most likely we will be achieving this 600 mark this quarter.
Okay, and EBITDA margins?
So approximately 11%.
Okay.
Little better than.
Okay. Any update from
something around, it's a very difficult for us to talk about the specific number, exact number, because you also understand, will appreciate how fluctuating overall situations worldwide is. Prices are very drastically moving up and down. So this is really very, very difficult for us to answer these sort of the questions. What we can answer very well is the quantity. So how we are doing, what we are doing to level the quantity and the capacity utilizations of the company. So if you would like to ask the questions relating to that, we will be comfortable in answering those questions, because we know what efforts we are doing. So price is something we do not control, and the EBITDA and turnover comes from the price as well. So quantity is also very important, but suppose if we are doing more quantity and the price is going down, my turnover will not be the level what we are discussing right now. So this is all forward-looking statement, considering the current date scenario. So we expect that we will be able to achieve that, but prices are going up and down on a regularly basis, so we do not control. Production utilization efficiency, we are maintaining, we are leading the positions in the IBU, and our assets are being utilized as a very comfortable capacities.
I can understand, sir, but we have some 13%-15%. No, so I just need to ask.
We will be reaching. So we are trying. That is perfectly all right. Initially, we said that we will try to reach to around 14%-15%, or after that, we said we will be reaching to around to 13%. But I think now we are just understanding that we will be reaching something 11%-12%. And we are very hopeful. We are very hopeful that this EBITDA level will be increasing and getting better in the next financial year 2027. Top line guidelines, we are still maintaining.
Okay. No, sir, why I am asking is, we are already getting so many approvals. We have increased our export, so it is expected.
Your question is very well valid and very much welcome. But what I am trying to say is that basis on these efforts, we are maintaining our volume and we are increasing our capacity utilizations of our assets. What we feel difficult is just to talk on the exact numbers.
Okay. Okay, sir, can I proceed with the next question?
Yes, please.
Sir, any update from the R&D team, patents we are having, any update from that side?
A patent, we are having three patents. All those patents are the process patents. We have not gone for the product so far.
I think we have currently three patents. So unfortunately, all those three products are not being working on commercial basis as of now. Like sitagliptin was one, pildagliptin was other, and losartan was the third one. So in pildagliptin and losartan, it was nitrosamine impurities, whereas in sitagliptin, it was the enzyme usage. So unfortunately, all these three products, due to commercial equations, they are not being running in the commercial plants.
Okay. So, means we have stopped working regarding these patents for the future.
No, it is not a question that we have stopped working. As and when any new product will come into the picture, we'll see our capabilities, how we can explore into the patent section also. But what we are saying today is, whatever the three patents we have, so unfortunately, those three products are not running under the commercial production.
Okay, we'll see you in the next conference. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Hemant from Niveshaay. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Yes, hello, sir. Sir, for the new land, have the board decided with what plans and what products are we coming up with, and whether it would be from the API division or the chemical division?
Sir, like in R&D, we are working on both segments parallelly, be it chemical side or be it API sides. So we are working parallel. There are different teams working in R&D on different products. So I think as and when we'll get through those products, we will announce appropriately.
Okay. So it is not going to be from the current product portfolio. So whatever the product is going to be from...
Model is maintained. Model, actually, the model is same. So we will there be doing the API in the chemical. But the product finalization is under implementation, under development. So that is the reason we are not able to tell you about what product we are going, but for sure it will be the API and the chemical.
Okay, sir. And sir, how much is the inventory markdown in the current quarter, the value of inventory markdown?
Around total inventory is around 350 crore.
Okay. So it is mainly because from the chemical inventory value which has gone down, or the API like products value which has gone down?
API inventory has been gone down, sir.
Okay, sir. And one of our competitor has also initiated, you know, some consultation for their you know, sale of their ibuprofen plant. Like Solara. So would IOL be interested, considering being in the southern part of India and our customers being located there, if the opportunity does exist in the market?
Not immediately now, but if anything come up which is meeting within our parameter of the selection, then we can will consider it. But as of now, we have the another land where we are just going to set up another plant, so our priority is that.
Okay, sir. But I just wanted to understand, sir, how is the ibuprofen scenario shaping up? Because listening to other con calls and everything, it looks like the market is pretty very competitive, and the new players are having a very high technological advantage over others. So could you just guide us, like, what is exactly is happening?
As I have already explained, that our company, the ibuprofen capacity is running at almost more than 90%. So we are not facing any such situation which you have heard from other peers or other things. Otherwise, the capacities are also closing down. In last year, one capacity was closed in USA also. So in the market, there may become some player or some player may are out, but it has 3 to 4% global growth rate every year. So there is potential for increase in this ibuprofen capacities also.
Okay, sir. That's it for today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ruddhi Vora from SAS Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah. So my question is that given the significant headwinds faced in the ibuprofen segment this quarter, could you elaborate on other molecules in your portfolio demonstrating the strong traction?
The other molecules are metformin, pentafurone, and propidogrel.
Yes.
Okay. And I have further question that, like, could you elaborate on the product pipeline that your R&D team is working on? Which therapeutic categories are being prioritized, and what timeline should we expect for commercialization?
So I think as we discussed in our last question also, we are working on the same combination mix of products. They will be the molecules of generic nature only. And as far as the means name of the product and timelines are concerned, team is working, and let us say if the molecule is already existing in the market, If we have to come up in the market, we have to create some edge. So definitely, as and when we'll get some idea or we'll get through that idea, definitely we will let you know.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Again, thank you very much for joining us. We remain confident in the direction of our business and the opportunities ahead. The progress we are seeing across segments, supported by strong customer relationships, disciplined executions, and improving operating efficiencies give us confidence in our ability to sustain performance momentum. Our continued emphasis on portfolio depth, process improvement, and prudent financial management will remain central to how we position the company through evolving market conditions. We would like to thank our stakeholders for their continued trust and support. Their confidence motivates us to keep strengthening our capability and delivering consistent outcomes. With a clear strategic roadmap and a resilient operating framework, we believe our company is well positioned to build on its current momentum and create enduring value in the period ahead. For any further queries, please feel free to contact our IR team. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.